Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to another live stream. Today we're going to be talking about, well, what is the hardest part of leaving the USA or Canada? But you know, we're mainly speaking to a lot of Americans out there. What is the most difficult thing of leaving? Well, it's actually leaving the USA. And so we're going to go into details. I made some notes. I usually don't make too many notes, you know, when it comes to these live streams that I do. I like to just pick a topic and just go on my rants. But the thing is like, well, I've already been here in Mexico about 6 years. It's almost been 6 years already. I cannot believe it's already been almost 6 years. Time flies when you're having fun. And so obviously, you know what I mean, since it's been that long for me since I left, I had to take a little bit of a refresher course as to, well, you know, the difficulties of actually leaving the USA or leaving your home country and coming to Mexico, because again, I forgot, you know, because, well, I don't deal with a lot of these difficulties, if any at all. And ever since I've been in Mexico, I've been as free as a bird, you know, like, you know, shout out to Lynyrd Skynyrd out there, free bird, right? I wish I could play some music, but YouTube does not allow me to play any kind of music. So you already know the deal. We're going to just do a little bit of an intro here, you know, just kind of wait for everybody to, you know, get their notifications, get in their seats, show up to the live stream before we really get the ball rolling here. But in the meantime, you know, there's just, you know, a lot to talk about here. So, you know, we're not going to be wasting too much time on that. Let me just give a quick shout out to Delfino, Tanya, and Evanisa. You know, shout out to everybody. I see shout out from Montreal, shout out from Oxnard, California. I used to live in Reseda, you know, California. So not too far off from there. You know, right there in the valley, you know, good times. You know, maybe one day on the podcast, on the other show. For anyone out there that isn't aware, remember, after I do these live streams here on Thursday, I usually go live on my other channel, Jose Unleashed. And who knows, maybe one day we'll go on and we'll talk about, you know, my old stomping grounds in LA when I lived there for a while. You know, last time we were talking about Disney. Today we're going to be talking about, you know, cooking. But again, on this show, on this video here, on this live stream, we're going to be talking about leaving the USA. Now, you know, this video can be used for, you know, anyone out there that's looking into leaving the USA for whatever the reason, okay? And whatever country you're going to. It doesn't just have to be Mexico, all right? It's just a lot of you guys that are watching my channel, obviously, you know, you guys are thinking about leaving the USA and coming to Mexico. And Mexico has its advantages and its disadvantages, mostly advantages, you know, as opposed to, you know, moving to like Southeast Asia or, you know, just some other country, you know, in another part of the world. Again, Mexico's right next door to the USA. So again, a lot of advantages, you know, to being close to home, for especially a lot of us to still have friends and family, and we're still tied down to the USA, which is, again, why I'm making this video, because no matter what you do, again, me, if you guys know my story, I basically got kicked out of the USA and I had to, you know, restart my life, you know, in another country, you know, here in Mexico. And, you know, as much as I wanted to, you know, again, renounce my citizenship and, you know, just be out of the whole empire and be away from the system and all this other stuff, you know, the reality is that it's almost impossible. I mean, I would literally have to go and, you know, just shut off everything, you know, no YouTube, no nothing. I would have to go and live in a village and, you know, again, farm for a living or, you know, have a little store or what have you, you know, which again, it's going to take resources. And for most of you guys that know my story, I didn't have any resources when I came out here. I had nothing. And I'm, you know, still kind of there. I have enough resources where I can live a wonderful life. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there is an ultimate goal, which is to do something like that. But, you know, unfortunately, we still have to, you know, be tied to the USA, tied to the grid, tied to the system. And again, if this is me, you know, someone that's, you know, has tried everything, you know, humanly possible to get away from it and still can't, well, imagine someone like you, in which you really, really can't, because, well, you know your own reasons as to why it's a lot more difficult, you know, for you per se, as opposed to, you know, someone like me or others out there. You know, for some people, it's very easy to, you know, just disappear, you know, into another country. But for the most part, for most people, it's almost impossible to just disappear. All right, so, you know, shout out to, you know, Dante, Baron Von Crunch. We got Omar from Phoenix. We got Mike Garcia, Mike Molina, David Durango, Kenny Vargas, Robert Valatori, and shout out to everyone. Shout out from Progresso. All right. Yeah, I see you all the time, you know, Robert, but I just I thought you were still in the USA. I think you mentioned sometime before that you were out here already. But anyways, Progresso is the beach that's about 30 to 45 minutes from my house. All right. So, you know, basically he's my neighbor. So shout out to Robert out there. Let me see. David Durango says, you may have had nothing, but you did have the language. Correct. I mean, not only did I have the language, but I had a lot of survival skills because, well, you know what I mean? Living in the USA, especially since I wanted to be a cook, you know, I wanted to just have a humble kind of life, you know, kind of like blue collar, you know, career. It wasn't easy. You know, everything was always, expensive in a sense. You know, I was always paycheck to paycheck, and I lived a very difficult life. So, you know, as things got more difficult, you know, obviously, you know, I got to, you know, make those skills of surviving even better. But yes, you know, you made it, you're 100% correct. You know, that's what allowed me to move to Mexico and make it so much easier for myself because, well, not only did I learn the language at birth, okay, yo sabía español desde que nací. You know, what I said there was that, like, you know, I knew Spanish from the day that I was born, but forget the Spanish. A lot of it had to do with my survival skills. You know, the fact that, you know, I came out here and sure, there was hardships, but, you know, I was dealing with hardships a lot of my life. You know, for a lot of people out there, well, a lot of you guys haven't dealt with much hardship or have, you know, a lot of you guys have not lived a hard life. It's as simple as that. And so, you know, the easier of a life that you've had, you know, the more difficult it is going to be to move out here. You follow? Sure, I know that these days it's difficult for everybody. But again, you know, I am, you know, 43, all right? Basically 42, 43, 43, whatever. Anyways, the point I'm making is that, you know, my whole life was hard. You know what I mean? I've only had a few blips here and there where life was easy. All right. It's always been extremely difficult. So, yeah, of course, you know, moving to Mexico, it was more of an adventure. It was a journey. It was fun. It was so much fun, you know, even though I had nothing, that, you know, I was able to record a lot of it, most of it. And, you know, eventually, you know, again, create a channel and eventually create what I've created here, which is, you know, something to help all of you guys. OK, but all of this came from my own hardship, okay? But yeah, you know, Spanish is just one piece of the puzzle. And remember, there's a lot of other countries out there in which they speak English, and you can start over there. So again, if you really don't want to learn Spanish, and Spanish is like a big major concern for you, don't move to Mexico. You know, you can move to another country. There's a lot of, you know, countries out there that are developing as well. And, you know, they mainly speak English, okay? In fact, it's funny because some people say, oh, I'm going to go to Thailand or I'm going to go to, you know, somewhere in Southeast Asia. I'm like, bro, that's like even more difficult to learn that language and that culture and so on and so forth. At least Mexico, you know, it's a lot easier for more people to assimilate to because, well, you know, Mexican culture is already ingrained within American culture. Remember, a lot of you guys, you know, eat tacos, you know, you guys have Mexican friends probably, and I could go on and on, you know. So Mexican culture is, you know, part of American culture, the U.S. culture. And guess what? When you move out here, that's something you realize as well, that, you know, the Mexico, as unique as Mexico is, and, you know, Mexico is, you know, is very different than the USA. Trust me, you know, there's a lot of things about Mexico that are very American. You know, not only do they have, you know, the malls and, you know, the fancy, you know, stuff that you guys are used to, you know, the same luxuries, but, you know, a typical Mexican will love rock and roll. In fact, if you love rock and roll, you know, just to give you one example, rock and roll, metal music, whatever, old classical rock type music, and you miss it, listen, out here, it's everywhere, okay? People love that music. They love all kinds of music, okay? You'd be surprised at the music that Christian listens to, which is, again, very similar to, like, you know, what someone her age in the USA will listen to. So not just the music, not just the food, you know, people, you know, they wear blue jeans, you know, they wear, you know, they drive, you know, American cars, they have iPhones, You know, that's a status symbol, same as Starbucks, and I could go on and on. So there's a lot of similarities that you would, you know, be surprised, you know. So again, don't let language, you know, be a barrier. Again, one thing that I always try to dispel on this channel is a lot of people always making excuses, you know, for doing what they, you know, want to do, what they need to do. So again, you know, yes, Spanish helped me, okay? But you know what didn't help me? The fact that I had zero money, all right? Nothing, literally $1,500 to my name. Because I even tell Mexicans that, and they're like, really? You came out here with that? That's all you came out here with? You know, shit, I wouldn't even move, you know, to another part of the city or, you know, another city in Mexico with that little amount of money, you know, which is, again, it translated to like around 30,000 pesos, give or take, which is not a lot, okay? It really isn't a lot. So yeah, you know what I mean? I had, you know, the advantage of speaking the language, but that was just part of it, okay? A lot of it had to do with literally, you know, wanting to do it, you know, dealing with hardship, and not just dealing with hardship, but, you know, again, you know, putting in that work, putting in the effort, you know, again, keeping the eye on the prize, you know, and all this other stuff. What was the prize? I wanted my freedom. I wanted to live the life I'm living now, you know, a beautiful life. I got a beautiful wife. I got an amazing career, an amazing life, and, you know, everything's just awesome. And again, worst case scenario that I lose, you know, everything again, I can still rebuild and, you know, keep going from there, especially now that I got, you know, my feet on the ground here in Mexico. I got my bearings straight, and again, I'm a permanent resident. So now, you know, I've built this nice foundation for myself where, again, knock on wood, no matter what happens, I can continue building and continue, you know, growing out here and things like that. So it's a lot, okay? And so, yeah, if, you know, for a typical American that's dealt with a lot of hardship, you know, living in the USA, it's going to be an easy transition. But for some of you guys that are, you know, dealing with hardship is, you know, still like a new and foreign thing to you, you know, then yeah, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you. Again, it's funny because, you know, every time that we have an economic crash, you know, there's always like that meme, you know, where, you know, all these people are like, oh my God, you know, I got to lower my standards of living and I got to lower, you know, my standards of living and my cost of living and things are expensive and this and that. And then you see like a group of people like me, you know, which is like, oh, these are the new poor. You know, I'm old poor. I've always been poor. I grew up poor. I literally was born in a trailer park. All right. Yeah, that's right. So let me see. I'm just reading a few comments there. Okay, so let's just get into it. Okay, so number one, you know, what is the number one most difficult? Actually, there's a lot of difficult things. Okay, I got a list. Okay, this might be the most difficult thing for you or not. You know, it just depends on who you are. But anyways, number one on the list of things that, you know, make it difficult, you know, from leaving the USA, leaving the plantation, the open air prison that most of you guys are in. Again, you guys are all debt slaves. So, you know, it wasn't easy to leave the plantation. All right. So it's not, what makes it think it's going to be easy for you. All right. We're in the same kind of scenario situation. All right. So the first thing you got to do is get a passport. And again, it, back in the day, you know, it was a lot easier to get a passport. These days, you know, I hear story after story. People reach out to me all the time, you know, telling me, hey, Jose, how can I come to Mexico without a passport? I cannot get a passport. They will not give me a passport. And look, some people that reach out to me, look, they've done some pretty, you know, not good things in the USA. So, you know, I kind of get it why they might not get a passport. But a lot of people, you know, it's such a minor thing that they, you know, have done in order, you know, for the government to not allow them to have a passport, to not allow them to leave the country, to not leave the plantation, to not leave, you know, the open air prison, which is pretty insane. Because I used to talk about this many, many years ago, you know, 6-7 years ago on a regular basis on, you know, my other channel, you know, the other content that I used to make. But the reality is that That's one of the most difficult things these days, it seems. You know what I mean? There's getting a passport, you know, because even if you do get a passport or, you know, you're applying for one or trying to get one, you know, some people get it fairly quickly, you know, like they usually did, you know, back in the day. And other people, yeah, they're still waiting. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, go ahead. Good luck with that. And unfortunately, in today's modern world, if you don't have a passport, that's going to be difficult for you. You know what I mean? It's going to be very difficult for you. I know a lot of people want to move, you know, to Mexico and they want to come out here. But moving out here is just one part of it. If you don't even have a passport, you can't even get a tourist visa, an FMM visa, let alone get residency, okay? And so on and so forth. Now, yes, you know, you can definitely apply for asylum and maybe even get asylum in Mexico, but, you know, you have a lot of hoops to jump through in order to qualify for that. If you're an immigrant coming from Venezuela or Cuba or whatever it is, you know, or, you know, any one of these countries that is literally falling apart, listen, it's a lot easier for you to, you know, when you're talking to an immigration agent out here in Mexico, you know, or dealing with the, you know, immigration as a whole, you know, for you to, you know, again, apply for asylum and get your asylum with absolutely no paperwork. Again, you're coming from Haiti, you're coming from wherever you're coming from. Listen, it's not that hard to prove that your country's on fire and falling apart, okay? And everyone is escaping. But if you're coming from the USA, listen, a typical Mexican, you know, someone working in immigration is going to be like, wait, what? You want to seek asylum? Why do you want to seek asylum? Why are you leaving again? What's wrong? You know, and again, when you just tell them, oh, my government, this, you know, whatever, you tell them what you think, okay? They're going to look at you kind of crazy, okay? And you really, really have to prove to them, okay, you know, your case, okay? And you have a lot of hard proof, okay, in order to, you know, get that asylum. So really getting asylum, you know, as an American or Canadian in Mexico is very difficult. Very difficult. Now, I'm not going to say it can't be done. Shout out to Gavin Syme out there. He's another YouTuber that actually, you know, was able to get and, you know, get his residency through asylum. But even, again, he explains that even his paperwork and, you know, his, you know, passport or whatever he has is completely different than, you know, the typical, you know, residency and passport that you would get, you know, like if you just do it legally or do it, you know, just like a normal person like I did. And so for me, you know, I had my passport, you know, a long time ago. And so, yeah, when I came out here, I had my passport and, you know, but long story short, you know, all I had to do was, you know, in my case, once I was married, well, all I had to do was just go to immigration and then, you know, just apply through family structure and I was good to go. And then, again, this is not an immigration episode, okay? I literally made one the other day talking about that. You know, yeah, you got the R&E program. You got so many things out there, okay? There's many ways to get your residency. Again, that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the fact that, you know, you got to get your passport, okay? And if you don't have your passport, good luck. Good luck. Again, you can come out here and you can disappear, but you're not going to be able to really do much per se, because at some point you got to earn money, right? You got to, oh, by the way, don't forget to hit the like, subscribe, all that good stuff if you haven't already. But shout out to the algorithm, right? Shout out to that AI, you know, that did that. Anyways, what I'm saying is that, you know, it's more difficult. So for example, you know, again, you know, another difficult thing that happens, you know, or difficult, you know, situation once you get to Mexico is having a job, you know, having income, having some sort of, you know, whatever. So again, there are certain people in certain cases that, again, they can come to Mexico, they don't need passport, ID, whatever, and they can live out here, God knows how long. They just, you know, literally get lost in the mountains, in the forest, in the whatever, and they're fine. You know, they don't need to do anything. If you know anything about Mexico, you know, laws and regulations and all this other stuff is, you know, it's arbitrary, you know, as opposed to where it is in the USA, where it's the land of law and order. So out here, you can kind of get by, and you can get by for maybe ever, you know, if you're in a certain situation. Okay, but again, you gotta, you know, that part, that's all gonna depend on your income, your, you know, money stream. You know, how are you getting money? And so, for example, if you're gonna be out here in Mexico and you're gonna depend on, you know, getting a Mexican job, and you have no ID, no passport, no nothing, well, I mean, what are you gonna be doing? You know, you're gonna be doing remedial jobs under the table and getting paid in Mexican wages. So if you cannot make it, okay, you know, making it in the USA on McDonald's wages, okay, on a McDonald's minimum wage or Burger King or whatever it is in the USA, what makes you think that you're going to come out here and have an even lower job than that and survive on that, okay? So again, it's not for everybody. I know some people can do it. I'm not going to say that they can't. I know that they can, but you got to keep all that in perspective, okay? So that's just the true reality of it. So for example, in my case, you know, remember, I work off of YouTube. You know, I work off, you know, for example, when people hire me for a one-on-one consultation, they want to have a conversation with me in private. you know, I got to earn money. You know what I mean? Like, for, I might sell T-shirts, you know, or, you know, whatever it is I do, I'm tied down to the American system. I got to have an American bank account. Now, again, I'm a permanent resident now. I'm working my way into becoming a citizen and trying to, you know, bring everything over here. But, you know, up until then, you know, I'm still tied down to that system. It's just the true reality of it, okay? And so, and especially if I'm going to be earning in dollars, you know? Yeah, a Mexican can eventually, once you're a citizen and, you know, you got your things together, you can earn in dollars and, you know, get paid in Mexico and things like that. But up until then, it's a long process before you become a Mexican citizen, all right? Just like, you know, it's a long process to become a U.S. citizen, right? But I digress. The point I'm making is that up until then, you most likely have to rely on your home country to earn a living, earn income. You know, whether it's a Social Security check, some sort of pension, some sort of, you know, military, you know, money that you're getting every month, and whatever it is, you know, whether it's a government check or a check from a job, okay, whether it's freelancing or not. Again, most of the time, you got to at the very least have a U.S. bank account so they can deposit your money, right? Okay, so you got to keep all that in mind. You know, it's a lot easier said than done. For me, it was a lot easy because, well, you know, I came out here and I didn't have much. One thing that I did have were skills, you know, and even though I was, you know, formally trained, you know, as a chef, and I did that for a good majority of my life, you know, I wasn't coming out here, you know, trying to start that up right off the bat. First of all, I didn't have the resources and I couldn't, but it's not what I was looking for. I was already, you know, living in LA and earning a living as a freelancer. Okay. Meaning that, you know, again, I would edit videos, you know, I would find clients and I would, you know, again, work with them to make, you know, content. I mean, simple as that. So I was able to get paid, you know, that way, you know, meaning, you know, someone, you know, I would make contact with a person and they would send me, you know, their work, you know, to me directly through the internet. I would do the work and they would pay me. And I had to deposit that in a bank account, okay? A U.S. bank account, because I definitely couldn't get a Mexican bank account, not for a while. So, again, you got to keep all that in mind. Now, again, if I didn't have any of that, well, I had to work, okay, a job in Mexico, a Mexican job in Mexico. And since all I had was my passport, okay, and I really, you know, didn't have much to go on there, you know, again, I had to work, you know, a Mexican job. Okay, and it was going to give me Mexican wages. And what that, you know, what that really meant is that, well, basically I was going to be in the same boat as I was in the USA. All right, again, just keeping, you know, keeping it honest. Okay, so I was going to be working some remedial job, you know, working 40, 50 hours a week to just barely get by. All right, so, you know, again, for me, I did the math and I was like, all right, you know, I can work really hard being a freelancer and make just about the same as, you know, someone working at 7-Eleven or McDonald's in Mexico and have my freedom and, you know, be able to, you know, build a YouTube channel and so on and so forth. So, again, that's just my own personal story. But, you know, again, a lot of people come out here and they want to be a YouTuber and they got no idea what it takes. They have no idea. You know, they've never been an entrepreneur. They never worked really hard. Again, I used to be a chef. Okay. So for me, you know, working very hard, you know, again, that was working really hard. You know, the fact that I got to, you know, wake up before I even went live today. Okay. I was editing a video. Okay. I was working on all that. People ask me, oh, who edits your videos? Who does this? I do it all. Okay. I was 5 minutes late because Christian's, you know, doing some spring cleanings. He's cleaning the house, you know, being a good, great housewife, you know, just like I'm a great house husband, right? You know, bringing in the, whatchamacallit, the bringing in the bacon. But long story short, you know, I mean, yeah, I was helping her, you know, move some furniture, you know, help her, you know, moving a bunch of things, you know, just doing, you know, physical labor, you know, in the sense, you know, right before I came and did this live stream, and I was editing a video. I was exporting the video, so, you know, again, I had a few minutes to kill before I went live. Anywho's, the point is that, you know, for me, you know, having a rigorous, you know, work schedule, you know, when it comes to making videos and content and going live, is, you know, this is extremely easy compared to working in a hot kitchen, okay? 6 days a week. So it's just, you know, just keeping that in perspective. So, you know, that's something that you got to really, 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 really consider. Okay, a lot of people just come out here and they, oh, I'm going to be a YouTuber. It's like, listen, I've been doing YouTube. Again, I've been in Mexico 6 years, just about. Okay, so I've been doing, you know, videos in Mexico for that amount of time. Before that, I was doing YouTube in LA. I was doing YouTube when I lived in Seattle. I never made any money. In fact, I really didn't start making money. Again, some money, okay? Up until a few years ago, okay? And now I'm starting to like bring in enough money where, okay, I can finally, you know, kind of pay my bills and rely on this, you know, for the time being, and hopefully keep growing, you know, the income stream here. But it took a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of me having to figure out how the hell I was going to get money, okay, for me to really be able to focus on this now 100%. So just keep that in mind. And I'm just a small channel. It took me a while to grow. And why did it take me a long time to grow? Well, because, again, the content that I provide is not something that a lot of other channels provide. And a lot of people, look, how about this? This year alone, I was just looking at some stats. Just to get some perspective, okay? I was doing some stats, and I got like almost 1,900 new subscribers this year. But you know how many subscribers this year, which is like 2.5 months, right? So, and not even 2.5 months, right? But you know how many subscribers I lost? Almost 600. Okay, so even though I gained 1,900, I lost 600. And why is that? Well, because, you know, eventually I say something that is going to, you know, hit the viewer the wrong way, because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the things that I have to say. And they only want to hear, you know, what they want to hear. Okay, but anyways, long story short, that's why it's taken me so long to grow this channel. And it's fine, because I have the freedom to really do what I love. And, you know, as the channel grows, you know, makes me happy, because I know a lot of you guys, you know, are really here for the right reasons. And, you know, you guys are really here to get the truth, like it or not, so that you guys can prepare accordingly. And for example, if you're willing to go through all this hardship, you know, to get your freedom and become an immigrant out here in another country, then you'll be able to do it. You know, I'm trying everything possible so you can, you know, get all that information for free. But for a lot of other people, you know, once they see all this stuff, they're like, okay, you know, maybe Mexico is not for me. I would rather just stay here and, you know, continue to suffer in silence, all right? instead of actually, you know, putting in that work, all right? Because it's just too much, too daunting, too difficult, too scary, all right? So anyways, I digress, all right? Let's just get into it. So again, make sure you have an income stream, a steady income stream. And then once you're here, start figuring out a way to, you know, again, earn some income, or, you know, again, become dependent, you know, or what is on yourself, okay? Become independent, okay? Perhaps, you know, start a business out here, you know, just figure out a way to, again, get yourself as far away from the U.S. Grid and the U.S. system. Because, you know, again, the longer you're attached to that, which, by the way, you're going to be attached to it forever. We're going to get into that in a second. But the longer you're, you know, the more attachment you have to it, the more difficult it's going to be. And the more dependent you're going to be on that system. So again, you know, again, if we're really thinking that the U.S. is going to have a civil war, World War III, a major economic crash, whatever, whatever. Okay, I know we're all taking our bets on what's going to happen. Maybe nothing happens, but whatever, if something does happen, okay, and you're 1,000% solely reliant, okay, on, you know, whatever income or whatever's coming from the USA, and all of a sudden you lose that, what are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? All right, so remember, prepare accordingly, all right? It's a lot easier for someone that's coming out here with a retirement check, but again, that could also dry up, okay? So, all right, let's not keep, you know, harping on that, okay? We've already kind of, you know, made the point, figure out your income situation, okay? Not just before you get here, but once you're here, again, you gotta, it's an evolving thing, something that you gotta continuously, you know, work on and figure out, okay? So another thing that you gotta worry about, okay, is taxes. Yeah, that's right. You gotta do your taxes, okay? Especially if you're still attached to the U.S. grid. So if you're an American, a U.S. citizen, you gotta do taxes to the day you die. That's it. Now, do you owe taxes in Mexico? Do you got to do Mexican taxes? No, you don't owe Mexican taxes. You don't got to do taxes in Mexico. Again, outside of the fact if you work in Mexico or you have a business in Mexico. But other than that, you don't got to worry about taxes in Mexico. But it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you're on the moon, if you're in Antarctica. It doesn't matter. If you're a U.S. citizen, you got to pay taxes to Uncle Sam every single year, like it or not. And you got to figure that out. Everyone has a different situation with that. And even my dumbass has to figure that out, okay? And I got to do my taxes every year, and so on and so forth. So just keep You know, keep that in mind. Now, you know, real quick, let me just, you know, piggyback off of that. A lot of people were like, oh, why don't you just renounce your citizenship? Listen, it's not that easy. Again, look into what it is and what it entails to renounce your U.S. citizenship. It's first of all, you have to go through a exit interview with the USA. Okay, yeah, that's right. You got to go to, you know, some sort of USA. Some entity in the USA. You might be able to do it abroad. Okay, but long story short, you got to go through an exit interview. They have to run FBI check, CIA check on you, IRS check on you. They got to go through all this stuff, and they got to approve you, and you got to pay fees. And it's the whole thing. Okay, so a lot of people are like, oh, why don't you just renounce your citizenship if you hate the USA so much? By the way, I do not hate the USA, all right? I just don't like the way it's treated me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to break up with you, and I'm just going to, you know, hang out with Mexico. I'm going to date Mexico for a while, okay? So that's it. And by the way, eventually, you know, I got married to a Mexican, and when I become a Mexican citizen, I'll get married to Mexico. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I can divorce the USA. I can't. Okay, like I said, even if I wanted to, you know, it's a whole freaking story there. And by the way, just to give you a quick little tip, for example, let's say me and Christian have a child, okay? If we have a child, okay, automatically, they're a U.S. citizen. And automatically, they got to pay taxes. So there's loopholes, you know, to get around that, okay, so that they can just remain Mexican and a Mexican citizen and have no attachment to the USA so that they don't have to worry about that. But yeah, think about how crazy that is, that if I have a child with my Mexican wife in Mexico and I, you know, fill out the proper paperwork, you know, long story short, you know what I mean? They're a U.S. citizen and now they got to pay taxes, okay? You know, now they're a debt slave and without ever stepping foot in Mexico. And that's for the rest of their life, without ever stepping foot in the USA. And that's, again, even if they never go to the USA, they still got to pay and owe taxes to the USA. But, hey, that's another story for another day. Again, if that's your story, I would look into that so you guys are more well-versed on that situation. But, again, in my case, you know, we can have a kid and it's just, you know, it's her kid. We'll just leave it at that, okay? That's one way to kind of get around that. But, yeah, no, I mean, the whole taxes thing, you know, IRS is always a knocking. You know, they want their cut, all right? People are always scared of the cartel in Mexico. Listen, the cartel ain't coming to your house asking for taxes. But the U.S. cartel definitely does. You know, the U.S. cartel will, again, they'll chase you to Mars, you know, so they can come get those taxes, all right? All right, again, it's not even about paying taxes per se. It's about declaring your taxes. It's about, you know, letting them know where you're at all times, okay? Don't be trying to disappear on them, okay? All right, but then again, that's another story for another day. So, you know, again, we have a long list of things here, all right? Again, another thing, tied down to the banking system. You're always going to be tied down to the banking system, one shape, form, or another. Again, I'm tied down to the banking system, and there's no way I can really get away from the U.S. banking system anytime soon. But eventually, you know, that's the plan. The plan is to just get away from the U.S. banking system. But even if I were to get away 1,000% from the U.S. banking system, and I'm only banking in Mexico and dealing with Mexican banks. Listen, all banks, okay? Again, the USA, they made sure of it, okay? That, you know, all banks are basically around the world, they have to report to the USA, especially if they got, if they have US citizens or someone with them, some sort of US citizenship or US background to them. So what do I mean by this, okay? So for example, this is, okay, if you're a foreigner, from any other country coming to Mexico, you can open up a bank account like this. That's why a foreigner can also go into the USA and also, you know, get an account like that. But why is it that a US citizen cannot just open up a bank account anywhere in the world in another country? And they have to get residency and they have to be part of the country in some way, shape, or form to get a Mexican bank account. Well, it's simply because most banks don't want to deal, you know, with the fact that, again, because you're a U.S. citizen, they now have to report your ass to the U.S. banking system, to the IRS, to the whatever, blah, 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 blah. So, again, this is why sometimes it's difficult for some of you guys to get a bank account out here unless you jump through certain hoops. You know, again, at the very least, get your residency and all this other stuff because guess what? Now that bank is, you know, they got to, you know, what is it? They got to put in extra work because of you. You know, now they got to report you and your assets and your this and your everything. Okay. Now, yeah, I know in today's world, there's a lot more automatic. And again, that's why it's a lot easier for, you know, you, as long as you got temporary or permanent residency in Mexico, you can get a bank account, no problem. But you better have your U.S. passport. You know, you better make sure that, you know, again, so that way they got all your information so they can send it to Uncle Sam. So that, again, you know, you don't be thinking you can get too far away. All right. So, and again, the thing about Mexico is great is that, yeah, it's a cash only system for the most part, you know, meaning it's mostly cash most of the time all over it. But, you know, in today's modern world, you still need some sort of banking. And that's just the truth. Okay. So, yeah, sorry, I got like, oh man, a little scratching. It's a lot of dust in the air these because of Christian's cleaning. What is it? We got spring cleaning, you know, and all that stuff. So, you know, it's already hot. It's already like 100 degrees outside and all that stuff. So, all right. So, let's see. Moving on to the next thing. Okay, so besides the banking system. So, we already talked about the passport, income, taxes, banking system. Another thing. Okay, which is a very difficult thing, especially for people to get over until they actually move out here, is the propaganda. You know, again, as a U.S. citizen, as anyone that's, you know, U.S., Canada, whatever, and you got to, you know, you're thinking about moving to Mexico. I mean, before you even step foot in Mexico, you're propagandized to the extreme, okay, that Mexico's dangerous. Mexico is the third world country, you know, Mexico is, you know, whatever, all the things that they say about it, you know what I mean? It's not, what is it? It's not friendly. It's not this, it's not that. And then on top of that, you know, a lot of people are propagandized into thinking that the USA is still number one and the greatest show on earth, you know, the greatest, you know, the place on the planet. And so they basically say, it's like, well, listen, we know that you're having a difficult time out here in the USA, but listen, if it's difficult here, imagine how much more difficult it's going to be everywhere else in the world, okay? So, hey, you know, hold on to your britches, all right? Make sure you salute, you know, to the national anthem, whatever it is. Anyways, you know, as difficult as it is in America, it's more difficult everywhere else, okay? So, you know, if the USA, you know, has a hiccup, everybody else has, you know, a major disease. And again, that couldn't be any further from the truth, you know, especially in today's world as, you know, the empire is falling, you know, the U.S. is using, you know, like their currency as a weapon and basically, you know, not allowing many countries to even use it. I don't want to get into all that. That's not the point of this video. But long story short, they're losing that power. They're losing that, that structure that they've built for such a long time. And the reality is that once you get out there, again, not just Mexico, there's many countries around the world that once you get to those countries, you're like, your jaw drops because it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, the USA is more third world than Mexico is. The USA is more of a third world country these days than, you know, Singapore, than Indonesia, than, you know, many parts of the world. You would be surprised, you know. Look at some YouTube videos. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. You know, me and my wife love to watch YouTube videos of, YouTubers that travel the world, you know, just basically food channels. You know, they go around the world. You know, they go to all these countries, you know, whether it's Australia or Morocco or wherever. Okay, so all spectrums, okay? And you'd be surprised when you really start seeing the world, and especially if you travel to the rest of the world, your jaw drops, you know what I mean? You're like in awe. It's like, well, wait a minute, you know, why are these countries more modern than anything that we have in the USA? Okay, the USA doesn't even have malls anymore, right? Don't get me started on all that, okay? So, you know, that's another thing. It's that propaganda, you know, where they make you think that, no, hey, listen, you know, I know things are bad in the USA, but they're worse everywhere else, so don't even think about leaving. But then, you know, when you actually do, well, by the way, this is why they want to keep you in, okay? You know, that wall is mostly to keep you in, okay? Not, you know, not the other way around, okay? Because, again, look at the border crisis. Again, I don't want to get into all that, but look at all the people that are crossing into the USA, all right? Every day, every single day. And then, you know, you... Okay, hold on. Let me, you know, sorry, I had to think about it for a second. Anyways, but, yeah, think of all the immigrants that are walking across the USA... walking across the border into the USA these days. And then think about it. If you're now, you know, a immigrant or a foreigner, okay, going into the USA, but you're actually, you know, flying in, okay, you're someone from Japan flying in, you're someone from even Mexico, it doesn't matter, whatever country you're coming from, but you're flying in or you're crossing the border and you got your passport and you're trying to do everything the legal way. Listen, Border Patrol is, you know, doing everything humanly possible to harass you. They might even deny you. They might deny your visa. They might not allow you to come in. They might not. So basically, again, and even you when you're leaving your own country or just traveling, how does TSA treat you? You know, how do these entities treat you? They treat you like crap, okay? Don't get me started, okay? So look how they treat people that do things the right way. And when you do things the wrong way, you know. You get it all, okay, for lack of a better description. So, again, you know, and this is not even, I don't want to, you know, talk about, like, politics, you know, to, whether it's the right or the left or whatever, who gives a crap, that's all the same, okay? So, yeah, you know what I mean? That's something you got to be, you know, we got to realize that, you know, it's all this propaganda, you know, basically they're trying to keep you in, okay? They don't want you to leave the plantation, okay? So, because guess what? Once you actually leave, you know, for anyone that's actually left the USA and visited other countries, you're like, wow, this is amazing. You know, I want to live here. I want this. I want that. But then when you start, you know, trying to figure out how you're going to leave, you quickly find out that, oh, my God, this is so difficult. Now, you know, enough besides the propaganda, you know, another thing that makes it very difficult, believe it or not, is the fact that, again, the more you have, the more difficult it's going to be. The reason it was easy for me, look, again, I understand that, you know, what I forgot who was in the chat saying that, you know, oh, Jose, it was easy for you because you know Spanish. Listen, that was part of it. You know what another major component was it for me that made it easy for me to leave the USA was the fact that I didn't have anything. The fact that I only had a few bags, you know, I only had a few bucks. I didn't have to sell my whole life. I didn't have to have transfer my career, you know, all these things, you know, all these things that tie you down, family, you know, I don't want to get into the whole family issue, all these things, most people have something tying them down to the USA in one shape, form, or another, and the more you got those things, you know, whether you can't leave because of your family, because, you know, you're you can't leave because of your job, you can't leave because of, you know, you got too much stuff, and just the thought of, you know, selling everything and moving to another country is insane. And I can go on and listen. That's part of the difficulty, okay? So, again, you know, the more things you have, the more difficult it's actually going to be for you to move. Now, again, the less you have, again, that has its own set of problems, as we were talking about earlier, okay? So you got to have a lot of grit. You got to have a lot of, you know, want and desire, you know, to make it happen. And it's not going to be easy. I never pretend it is. I'm always telling you guys, you know, what it's really like. For some people, it's a lot easier than others. But this is something that you got to really, really keep in mind. Is the fact that, again, the more you got, the more difficult it's going to be. Because you got to uproot everything. You got to start over. So, again, if you're in a position already where, you know, you're basically forced to start over because everything's been taken away from you one shape, form, or another. Well, you know, again, this makes it easier because you could just start over here. But if you got to, again, end everything that you're doing, okay, before you can start over. Again, you know, that alone is such a daunting task that most people just don't even, you know, consider it. You know, they just give up before they even start, okay? Let's see what else. And then, you know, I guess the last thing I got on my list here. It's already been 44 minutes. Okay, geez. You know, I thought it was only been, you know, streaming for a few minutes. Okay, but this is the last thing I got on my list. And by the way, after this, you know, please, you know, I'm going to go through the comments. So if you guys have any questions, if you guys have your own, you know, reasons that I haven't mentioned yet on the live stream, let me know. And we'll go through that as well. Okay, because again, there's so many things that, you know, might be unique to you or to other people out there that, you know, just I haven't even considered because they never pertain to me in one shape, form, or another. So, but the last one, okay, and this is, you know, kind of hurts a little bit to even talk about this one, or, you know, bothers me a little bit. But, you know, there's other YouTubers out there, tons of other YouTubers out there that are just constantly making it seem like it's impossible for you to move out here, okay? Like, oh, it's too expensive. No, it's not. What do you mean? Again, don't forget to hit the like if you haven't already. You know, like and subscribe. All right, woo! All right, the artificial intelligence there is doing its thing. Shout out to the robots. So, but anyways, all the YouTubers out there that are basically, again, spreading their own form of propaganda for whatever reason. For whatever reason, whether it's doing it for views, maybe they don't want, you know, more foreigners or expats to move out there, whatever it is. Okay, the point is that a lot of them, you know, they say, oh, Mexico's too expensive. No, it's not. What do you mean too expensive? And what do you mean? And what, where in the USA can you live, okay, off of, live comfortably and nice, okay, like I do, for $1,000 to $1,500? You can't, okay? So why, well, how is it getting more expensive? Maybe it's you that it's too expensive. Maybe it's you that got to lower your, you know, your expenses and your standards a little bit. Maybe it's not getting that expensive at all, okay? But anyways, that's another story for another day. Or they say that, again, you can't get residency. Look, this is what prompted me to make that video on Tuesday. I know I don't drop videos during the week usually, but I just had enough. I really had enough, you know what I mean? Because I just, you know, I saw one too many videos talking about how, you know, how difficult and impossible it is to move to Mexico, because you're never going to get residency, because you're never going to be able to, what is it, like, qualify because of the financial requirements. And it's like, bro, what are you talking about? How many immigrants, you know, move to Mexico every day from all over the world, and they're not making what the top 1% of Mexicans are making. In fact, I think what the financial requirements are is more, right, than even the top 1% of a Mexican would make. So what? What is that? Is that flat out for the rest of the world? Because that's what it seems like. That's what they're trying to make it seem like. Or what? They're just, you know, picking and choosing. Oh, wait a minute. So now they're, you know, being racist, you know, towards Americans and Canadians. You know, that you got to be making a lot of money in order to move out. No, listen, it's not. That couldn't be any further from the truth. Again, please watch that video that I dropped on the channel again on Tuesday a couple days ago, you know, basically talking about, you know, the RNE program. And you can watch the video that I did with Jose Novello, the Mexican lawyer, again, talks more in depth and in detail about that. But look, long story short, you're moving to Mexico. You're not moving to a totalitarian government like USA, Canada, China, whatever. Okay, so out here, they're not as strict with anything, with everything, okay? So, you know, again, not only can you get your residency, but even if you're just here on a FMM, aka a tourist visa, you're fine. You know, plenty of people live like that. In fact, listen, guys, I'm living in Mérida, Yucatán, okay? I couldn't be any further away, okay, from the USA. I'm on the southern tip of Mexico. But how many Americans, okay, live in the border region of the Mexico-US border? And again, you can look it up for yourself, especially like in Tijuana and, you know, major cities like that. They literally work in San Diego, for example, and then they cross the border every day to their house, okay, in Tijuana. Okay, so they live in Tijuana. They do all their whole life is in Tijuana. But when they got to go to work, they just, you know, get in their car. Or they walk across, whatever, but they just go into the USA. Again, these are US citizens, and they don't have any kind of, you know, residency in Mexico. No, they get a new visa every single day. So that's just one case, okay? And so when people say, it's like, oh, you can't be going on visa runs, and no, what do you mean? Says who? What, you're going to listen to some dumbass American YouTuber out there that doesn't know anything about Mexican laws and Mexican customs and Mexican everything? No. Again, this is why I have a Mexican lawyer explain it to you. Don't be listening to me. I literally have a fake horse, okay?
Hey, why are you calling me fake? I can talk.
Look, some of you guys even saw him blink earlier today. So listen. So not only am I telling you not to listen to me, don't be listening to anyone else out there, okay? Especially like an American. You know, what the hell? You don't even speak Spanish. The fuck? What the hell are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, so that's what drives me crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, all these people spreading all this fake news out there for whatever the reason. It might just be for clicks and views and whatever, you know? But, you know, you should be listening and consulting with Mexican professionals and you know, Mexican, experts on the case. You know what I mean? Again, there's plenty of lawyers that are Mexican. There's plenty of facilitators that are Mexican. You can, again, there's many ways around this, okay? But the point I'm making is that, you know, not just the residency factor, but just, you know, there's so many other things. And so look, let's just talk about residency a little bit further. So yeah, you know, eventually if you go on enough visa runs, you know, at the border, they're going to be telling you, hey, bro, hey, look, I'm not going to give you 180 days. I'm only going to give you 30 days, or I'm only going to give you a few days so that the visa will expire and you can go to immigration, okay, and get your temporary residency because you live here. Enough. So, that, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's really what they're doing. I mean, when if for whatever reason, you know, they're not giving you the 180 days anymore as you keep doing these visa runs, they're doing you a favor. They're basically telling you, hey, listen, I'm giving you 30 days to go and get your shit together. Okay, go get your paperwork. Okay, go get your temporary residency. Whether it's the R&E program or not. The point is that you don't need all these crazy financials. You don't need, you know, to jump through all these crazy hoops. You don't. No, you don't. Okay. The reality is that, you know, not just residency, but there's so many other things about living in Mexico that are actually a lot easier than living in the USA these days. Again, outside of what, you know, all the things that I mentioned already, you know, things that you got to deal with, especially, again, steady income. In fact, the most difficult thing, okay, seriously, if I had to pick one, the most difficult thing of moving to Mexico, living in Mexico, is having a steady income stream. Okay, and I think that's anywhere, okay, no matter where you're at, even if you're in the USA, in order for you to survive, you got to have some sort of steady income stream. So outside of that, everything else is easy. When if there's a will, there's a way. And that's just the reality of it, okay? So that's something that, again, for whatever reason, you know, one of the biggest enemies you're going to have is other YouTubers out there spreading fake news. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, okay? And I don't know why. I don't know what it is, you know? Maybe I'm just the only crazy one out here, you know, telling you how it is. Again, I'm sure that there's maybe a few others out there that, you know, are also telling it like it is. But, you know, again, not that I see. You know, maybe my algorithm is, you know, messing with me and they're only giving me, you know, YouTubers that are giving you all this fake news or propaganda or, again, trying to scare you away from coming out here. Again, even though I give tough love and I tell you a lot of, you know, things, you know, that a lot of others are not going to tell you about how difficult it is, I also give you solutions. And that's the thing. It's up to you ultimately at the end of the day, you know, whether or not you're going to move out here or not, or move to another country or not, but it's difficult. You know, again, people are like, oh, you know, Jose, you know, Mexico's too difficult or too expensive or too this. I'm just going to move to Thailand. Oh, okay. That's easier, right? Or moving to, you know, the Philippines, I don't know, whatever, some island out there or wherever it is you're moving. Really? That's easier for you? It might be. It might be, but it's not. Again, have you looked into getting residency over there? Have you looked into the visa situations over there? Have you looked into the language? You know, come on. You know, at least most of us have learned Spanish. You know, I know I speak Spanish. Okay, me llamo Jose Arteaga, so it's a lot easier for me. But again, a lot of you guys, you know, at the very least, you know, you probably took some Spanish in high school. You know, let alone, you know, it's a lot easier to learn and understand Spanish than it is other languages. But I digress, okay? The point I'm making is that there's a lot of fake news out there. You know, there's a lot of, you know, people out there that are just basically, you know, again, trying to scare you away from coming out here. Or, again, you are looking for whatever reason, okay, to scare yourself, okay? Or, again, give yourself excuses as to not doing this, okay? So, all right, that's the last thing I'm going to say. Now, we still got more things to say. You know, don't go anywhere, guys. Now, I'm going to go through the comments, so please, if you guys have any questions, any comments, anything you want me to touch on or speak about, things that I missed, maybe I didn't mention through my list, let me know. Before we do that, though, I want to give a quick little plug in, you know, to the next show I'm going to be doing. Okay, so, hold on, let me get my fat face over to the other side here real quick. Oh. So, in a little while, as soon as I'm done with this live stream, I'm going to be going live, okay, over there on my new channel, okay, where I speak about all kinds of things, okay, so let's just kind of check it out real quick. So today, obviously, we're going to be talking about, you know, why I became a cook, you know, as it says there, you know, every chef is a masochist, okay, we're going to be talking about all that. But again, you know, again, I talk about all kinds of things on my channel, my new channel, and so usually when I'm done here, you know, I take a little break and then we head over there and hopefully you guys, you know, want to be entertained, want to have some fun, want to enjoy yourselves, want to hear some crazy stories, whatever. You know, it seems like you guys are really enjoying it so far. So, again, we're only a few episodes in and so far we've seen pretty good growth. So I'm gonna put a link to the next live stream here in the chat for anyone out there that's interested and going to check that out. I really hope to see you guys there as soon as we're done here, which, again, we're not done. You know, we still got things to talk about. I want to discuss what you guys have to say and so on and so forth. And by the way, if I missed what you said in the chat because it scrolled up too quickly or whatever, you can leave the comment again, you know, anything, you know, a little short of spamming. But again, if I missed it and you want me to cover it, say it again and I'll get into it. But there you go. You know, that's going to be after we're done here. You know, we got to keep it fun and lighthearted. You know, at the end of the day, that's really the, you know, the whole thing I'm trying to do here. I know sometimes I go a little hard in the paint, okay? But hey, it is what it is, all right? So I really appreciate you guys so far. I hope you guys are enjoying everything I do on the channel. You know, I want to give a shout out to all my members, shout out to everyone to help support the show in whatever way possible. Really, really appreciate you guys. Again, if you want free information, all kinds of free resources, okay? Remember, I don't sell nothing. I don't sell absolutely nothing, okay? I only sell my time. So if anyone out there just wants to talk to me one-on-one or you want to meet me, okay? If you're coming out here to Mérida, Yucatan, and you want to meet me, you can, again, you can also pay for those services, okay? You know, pay for my consulting services. Look, sometimes you just want to hang out and have a few beers. That's great. But if all you're, you know, if you're coming to Mérida and all you're saying is like, hey, Jose, I'm coming to Mérida. I want to buy you a beer and hang out with you. Listen, I can buy my own beer. You know, I appreciate it. I love you guys. But again, I'm busy. Okay, remember, I'm a one-man show, one-man band here. I got a lot to do, and I got a family to support. You know, I got a horse to feed. I got a dog to feed. I got my wife. You know, she's also, you know, doing all her artsy-fartsy stuff, and, you know, I got to help her with stuff, you know, and I just, you know, what I do. So, you know, time is money. And so, again, this is why I give everything for free, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not selling anything, and I'm not pretending to sell anything or nothing like that. So I'm just going to give a shout-out to everyone out there. Oh, sorry, just getting some messages. Anyway, so again, please check out my website for a free information, okay? Like, not only are my videos there, but again, look, all the way at the top. Look at the top. What does it say there? Digital nomad jobs. You know, to the very least, get you started, okay? You know, you can teach English. You know, you can do some freelance work. You can, I don't know, you guys have to figure this out, okay? Figure it out. Not all these links are going to work, you know? Some of them, you know, are probably expired, but yeah, you know what I mean? Again, I help you out with jobs. I help you out with free resources. You know, here are certain videos, you know, how to find a rental when you're in Mexico, things that you need to know, okay, before you rent. You know, if you need a banking solution, you know, you get that dollar app. If you need an apostille, some people need an apostille, you know, for certain, you know, situations. If you need a translator, you know, something to help you with the language, you know, for some of you guys that don't speak the language at all, you know, you got that. You need a lawyer, okay, right there. Again, by the way, even all the information is for free. So you can watch that video, and if you speak Spanish, okay, you can do it for free. Or you can even hire a facilitator to help you along the way. But at least you know what you're looking for. And at least you know that if, you know, if someone's trying to hustle you or scam you, like, you already know how the whole thing works. So you can, you know, go from there. So, and again, even if you want to learn Spanish for free, you don't want to purchase a device, you know, check out Duolingo's a great app and so on and so forth. All right. So these are just the free, you know, resources, you know, for anyone moving to Mexico. And free resources if you, and you know, and then I got another page for resources if you're moving to Mérida, Yucatan. Again, if you need an assistant, you know, translator services, whatever it is, you need a vet for your animal. Again, the lawyer. You know, if you want to know where I got my glasses, I got to update these videos. We're going to make some new videos. You know, a dentist, you know, that's the dentist that I go to. Everything you need to know about real estate, again. You know, a video I did with my friend Jose. You go to my barbershop, by the way. What do you think? Got a new haircut. Okay, and so on and so forth. You know, that's one of my favorite restaurants. I got to update this website. I got to add a few more things, you know. I got more things to add there. But anywho's, all right. I just wanted to give a shout out to myself because, again, you know, that's the only way I can promote this channel, okay? I got no money to pay for advertising, so I got to, you know, advertise on my own channel about me. So, hold on, where's the...
Bruh.
Okay. So let's see. Okay, so again, please, go check out this channel. Go check out that live stream if you want to, keep with the hilarity and the fun, and you want to, you know, have some, again, this is a show that you can listen to while you're working, while you're, you know, doing whatever it is you're doing. Okay, let's just get back into the show. All right, enough self promotion. Okay, so let me see. time is money. Then the Fed. Okay, so let me see. Are there any tech jobs in Mérida like there are in Monterrey, Guadalajara, and DF? Probably. I don't know. I have no idea. I got no idea. I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. Tech jobs out here? Maybe not. But you can look into it. You know, again, I don't even know where to begin there. But yeah, no, that's a great question. Sorry, I don't really have an answer to that. But yeah, there are tech jobs in Mexico. So, you know, if that's what you're into, you can definitely find. Standing Mannequin says Rosarito for instant regularization, and then exploring starts for finding home. Yeah, exactly. So you can, again, the R&E program, you know, to get your residency, that's anywhere. Okay, you know, anywhere in Mexico. It's a lot easier if you live by the U.S.-Mexico border and you can just kind of cross back and forth and, you know, get the stamps necessary on your passport. It makes it easier because, again, they do it a lot more over there because they're constantly doing it, you know, because it's, you know, it's a constant thing. It's a little bit more difficult out here, you know, all the way out here in the jungle. And, you know, I'm literally right next to Guatemala, for crying out loud. But kidding me, of course it can get done out here. It definitely gets done, you know. So 100% you can, you know, you can get that residency. You know, it's, again, it's all about, you know, again, nothing is easy. That's the thing. The thing that a lot of Americans, you know, unfortunately have to get over the fact is that, you know, things are, you're now the foreigner. You are now the immigrant in another country. So now you have to, you know, go through certain difficulties, you know, just like immigrants got to go through difficulties in the USA. The same thing, only you're now the one dealing with it. Okay, so, you know, FYI. Let me see. Questions. All right, let me see. Hold on, let me hold on. I need to have a little music in the background real quick, you know, while I look for for the music. Anyway, shout out to everyone. Oh, where's anyways, questions. I just had that dead radio silence. I hate when there's like so much silence in the background, you know? Okay. A little music while we're looking through some comments and questions. JD Vision says, I lived in Florida my entire life and I speak fluent Spanish, never lived abroad, just worried about being alone, leaving friends and family behind. I mean, yeah, look, I get it. Those are all worries, you know. That's why a lot of people don't leave or don't want to leave. But listen, you know what I mean? You're always going to be alone. You know, the quicker you realize that, you know, you came into the world alone and you're going to leave alone. So you better, you know, the quicker you get over that, the quicker and the easier it's going to be for you to transition. But I'm not going to say it's easy. Again, for me, I was basically left for dead. I don't want to get into all that. But I came out here and I was reborn, you know, like a phoenix. And now my family regularly visits me out here and my friends come to visit me out here. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay. In fact, my mom's going to come visit me again. She's already, you know, come out here 3 or 4 times, you know, which for my mom, you know, that's like a big thing, you know what I mean? So, you know, the fact that she comes to visit me out here on a regular basis, where she never was able to visit me any other, you know, when I was living in any other part of the USA, but when I, you know, here, you know, and she's in Florida, she's in Miami, all right? She comes out here all the time. And the JD Vision says, and living on $1,900 a month, which is way too low to get residency. Again, I already answered all that, JD Vision. Okay, you can definitely live on, you know, you're going to be living like a king with that kind of money, and you can definitely get residency through the R&E program or whatever other program, you know, or where there are other ways to get residency. Okay, you don't have to just meet financial requirements. See, and that's what drives me crazy. It's just that, you know, so many people, so many YouTubers out there have done such a great job at spreading that fake news that you need to be making like whatever, $400,000 a year, whatever it is, whatever they're asking for. By the way, maybe someone in the chat can let me know what they're asking for these days. But it's insane. It's insane. Not even the Mexican president makes that much. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on now. You know? So, have I done a video with Mama Ortega? You know, I have not. And I might consider it this next time that she comes to visit. I might consider it. It's up to Mama. All right. It's up to my mom, whether or not she wants to do it or not, but maybe, Maybe, you know, I have thought about it. I'm not going to lie. Okay, so if mom's on board and she might want to do a video, then yeah, for sure, I'll do a video. That'd be great. You know what I mean? It'd be nice to, you know, get her thoughts on her crazy son living out here. So, DeMarco Smith says, I'm an outcast. I don't fit into America and I have a disability, which is worse. Look, for me, that's another thing too. You know, like I always felt like an outcast. I always felt, you know, I never fit in the USA and so on and so forth. And I just always thought it was something wrong with me until I moved to Mexico. And then I realized, oh no, there's nothing wrong with me at all. It was just, everything's wrong with the USA because as soon as I, you know, moved out here and I just started to, you know, get my bearings straight, I realized, oh, I fit in like a glove out here, right? So look, you know, I'll just say this famous quote, okay? I forgot who said this. A famous lawyer said this. You know, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. So long story short, you know what I mean? In the USA, the glove never fit, you know what I mean? But out here, the glove fits perfectly, you know? So at least for me. So I just wanted to mention that. So let me see any questions. Let me see if we've got more questions here. By the way, these flies are killing me. Summer is here. Let me get some flies. All right, let me see questions, comments. People don't care about... People don't care about people with disabilities, Jose. It's hard to get a job. Well, I mean, I don't know what disability you have or what your situation is. But out here, lots of people with disabilities have jobs. You know what I mean? And a lot of them, you know, they even become entrepreneurs. Like, for example, there's plenty of people that are wheelchair bound, for crying out loud. And in their wheelchair, you know, they're able to like kind of build like, a little tuk-tuk that they can fit their wheelchair in, and they'll go around, you know, being a taxi for people. Or I'll give you an example, you know. So you see, Dr. Simi, you know, I talk about this guy all the time. I talk about the pharmacy and the fact that they have cheap doctors and anyone has access to medicine out here, no matter what your income. But anyways, these dolls, okay, that, by the way, they're like super world famous these days, but that's another story, all right? But long story short, the people that make these dolls are people with disabilities. You know, people, I don't even know what to say, you know, but they're a little slow, okay? But again, in Mexico, they're the ones that make these things, okay? They got like a whole factory, you know, full of, you know, those individuals that, you know, might be hard to employ, but they love their job. You know, the people that make these and the pharmacy is constantly helping the community. They get paid well. They get treated well. They show it all the time, you know, as to, you know, how they employ, you know, anyone and everyone for the most part. And I can go on and on. Oh, look, Amputee Adventure. Shout out to him. You know, shout out to James. You know, James, you know, he has a major disability. You know what I mean? Like, well, major, you know, difficulties, you know, when it comes to just living life, you know, I mean, for crying out loud, you know, he was wheelchair bound as well and so on and so forth. And he came out here and he lived, you know, very well. He had to go back to the USA, you know, to, you know, get some medical procedures done. But, you know, hopefully he, you know, he'll make it back soon. Shout out to you, James. Love you, brother. But you can check out his channel. You know, he has, you know, disabilities as well. And, you know, they're not really disabilities. You know, it's up to you whether you want to, you know, consider yourself unable to do things or not. But the reality is that, you know, you can make it out here. It's all about, you know, whether you want to or not. But yeah, obviously, I know it's not going to be easy. I'm not pretending it's easy. But yeah, no, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Like, for sure, you know what I mean? People can do it out here. And yeah, you know what I mean? There's people out here, you know, like, you know, blind musicians. You know, there's all kinds of people, you know, with all kinds of disabilities, you know, and they're treated just like everybody else in a sense, you know what I mean? And it's great. It's great, you know? It's an amazing thing to see how... Because, look, in the USA, again, if you have any kind of disability, they basically kind of, like, throw you away. It's the saddest thing ever, you know? Like, it's horrible. But out here, it's, no, you're part of the community, and, you know, again, yeah, it's so different, man. It's just so different that people really care about each other here. They take care of each other. They understand that, you know, just because you have a disability doesn't mean that you're broken and that you cannot, you know, do anything for society or even take care of yourself. No, it's the complete opposite. You know, it's just like, yeah, it's things are a little bit more difficult for you. But that means that, hey, you know, like you just got to work a little harder and, you know, people might be just, you know, be a little nicer to you and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like everybody has, you know, basically all the same opportunities, you know, that that anyone else that's able-bodied, I guess, you know what I mean, would have. So anyway, shout out to James out there. Love you, brother. Let me see what other... reading some comments. Any comments about the water situation in Mexico City? I mean, I don't live there. But look, the water situation in Mexico City, look, in some parts of the city don't have water because of overdevelopment, and there's, you know, situations, you know, that make it you know, they're basically making the city run out of water in certain areas. But again, you know, in the USA, there's also a water situation. You know, you can go to Flint, Michigan. You can go to, you know, many other parts of the USA in which they're having difficulties with water. Especially, like, if, for example, if you're going to, like, southwest of the USA, you know, again, it's all desert. And they got their problems with water as well. In fact, there's water wars that are happening between Mexico and the USA. It's a complicated issue. But you got to remember that the north of Mexico's desert, Mexico City is built up in the mountains, and it's, you know, like 22, 23 million people that are living there. And as many people, even though a lot of people are leaving Mexico City and leaving that area, a lot of people are also moving in. And it's just, you know, it's causing more and more stress on the infrastructure, water included. So, I mean, even though I live in the Yucatan and there's a lot of fresh water out here, you know, there's also, you know, situations with the water here as well. And, you know, again, that's another episode, you know, topic for another day, but not really much I can comment on because I'm not really that well educated or versed on the whole situation. But yeah, it's happening, but it's not the whole city. You know what I mean? It's just certain areas, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's parts of Mexico that have been dealing with water shortages forever. Forever, okay? It's a sad thing to see, you know, having to, you know, unfortunately, you know, the having trouble getting water. But it's something that, again, it happens even in the USA. If, you know, in the India-China border right now, in Africa, you know, there's all over the world. You know, this is something that most people are not well versed on or have any idea about. But, you know, there's a lot of water wars or a lot of, you know, situations like that, you know, with water around the world. And it's not to say that there's not enough fresh water. There is, but again, you know, like I said, this is, you know, that's not what today's episode's about, but not much I can really say because I don't really know much, you know. Dante Duran says looking for a two-bedroom apartment. Any ideas? Yeah, like I said, you know, go to my website. Okay, here, check it out again. Go to my website. And on my website, you know, we're here. Let's just go to the homepage. But on my website, right here where it says free, look, right there, you see where I'm clicking? Free resources for living in Mexico. Okay, click there and right off the bat, boom, the first video you're going to see is going to tell you how you can find an affordable place to live. And again, all the websites, you know, right here. Here's one of the websites, for example. Okay, so it's all there. Okay, that's my advice for finding a place, okay? There's tons of places. All right, guys. Jeff P. says, what's the elderly care model, hospice care, are residents covered? I mean, again, look, you're not... In the USA, you know, everything... Man, the USA is a socialist country, okay? There's a lot of social programs, okay? You can get money from the government for all kinds of things. You know, the government will take care of you. The government will do this. The government will do that. And Mexico's not like that at all. So you got to figure that out on your own. And so, yeah, there is hospice care type, you know, there's type of hospice care. There's elderly care. I'm not the one to speak on that. I'm, you know, I'm 30 years removed from elderly still. But yeah, it's out there. And there's people that have made videos on that. So shout out to them. You can go check out those videos and find information on that. But you know, look, at the end of the day, you're gonna have to pay for it. You know, if you want to, you're gonna be in an elderly home and an old folks home, you're gonna have to pay for it. There's no government, you know, subsidies or government programs or the government. The government's not going to bail you out, okay? That's the thing. That's why Mexican people are a little bit more, you know, hardy, I guess, you know what I mean? Because they're used to just, you know, they don't trust the government because, well, the government's never been there for them and they're not going to be there for them. So, again, that's why the relationship between the people and the government here is completely different than the USA, where people, again, you know, are more reliant on the government. You know, to the point where, again, they can't even leave their country, you know. But in Mexico, it's not like that at all. You know, Mexico is like you're basically on your own. And yeah, there's a few government programs here and there and but nothing like the USA. So, yeah, no, you don't, you know, don't be coming out here, you know, as a foreigner, as an immigrant, and then expecting the Mexican government to take care of you. They're not. Okay. That's not how it works. Unfortunately, okay, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be harsh, but this is the truth, okay? Is there a lottery in Mexico? That's a great question. Yes, there is. Okay? Let me see. Have I heard anything about El Tren Maya? Yeah, you know, the Mayan train. Again, there's other people that made videos on that. But yeah, you know, again, I can't afford to go on the Mayan train. I don't have the time either. But on top of that, you know, the Mayan train still has plenty of hiccups. And, you know, I'm not going to really ride that thing or get on it until, you know, there's, you know, it's finally hiccup free. And on top of that, there's a lot of controversy, you know, with the whole Mayan train because, you know, at first, you know, they were, you know, talking about like, hey, we don't want the train because it's going to destroy the atmosphere. I mean, not the atmosphere. It's going to destroy the jungle. It's going to destroy whatever. And so I was one of the people that was like, you know, it's not so bad. It's just some train tracks. I mean, how bad could it be? But, you know, now come fast forward to seeing exactly what they're doing. You know, they're destroying many parts of the beautiful jungle out there. And I don't want to get into all that, but it's very controversial. And now I am not so much of a fan of how they're building it and the way they're building it. And I can go on and on. So it's a whole thing. And, you know, right now, you know, like I said, you know, I'm going to ride it. I want to ride it. I want to, you know, experience it. You know, it'd be cool, you know, to ride the train, you know, from point A to point B. But, you know, we're still far away from that thing being... you know, a working thing per se, all right? That's, you know, again, you check it. There's other YouTubers that do that. Please go check them out, all right? Talking about the Mayan train, okay? And they've taken the ride on the Mayan train and, you know, do the whole thing. So I think that's it, guys, all right? I really appreciate you guys. I think we're, you know, kind of finishing up here. Because I got things to do as well. I got to help the wife, okay? Do I think that debt, credit cards, the American lifestyle keeps Americans in America? Yes, that's a great question, by the way. She loves Cam. Yes. So that's another thing, too. You know, look, that's a great question. I think I'm going to end it on this. You know, I'm going to go on a rant for a minute, all right? So, but yeah, long story short, I think that's a major concern. I mean, sorry, not a major concern, a major problem with a lot of Americans leaving America. Because look, a lot of Americans are so tied down into the system, into the debt system, that they cannot live without, you know, being in debt, without accruing debt, without having the ability to accrue and accumulate debt, without credit cards, you know, without that whole system. You know, they're just used to that system and a certain lifestyle that comes with that. And again, it's all part of the plan, you know, or part of the system, you know, and that's how they keep you on the plantation. You know, you can't really leave. Look, back in the day, you know, during the slave days, you know, how it worked is that, you know, you worked. You actually worked, okay, for the slave owner. They gave you money. But that money was no good outside of that plantation. You had to spend it at the company store. Okay, sound familiar? So it's kind of like in a similar situation, you know what I mean? Where, you know, yeah, you know what I mean? Those dollars, you know, U.S. dollars are good in other parts of the world, but debt, you know, U.S. debt you know, try using credit cards and using the debt system outside of the U.S. and you see that it's not worth anything. So, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, stuck in that system, you know, stuck dependent on the government, stuck dependent on corporations, stuck dependent on the banks, you know, debt, you know, all this stuff. Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it's very, very, very difficult. For me, again, I was in a unique situation, which, again, a lot of people are, more and more Americans are finding themselves in this same position every day, is the fact that I was so poor, okay, so poor that, well, I got kicked off of the system. I got kicked out of the banking system. My credit score is like 300 or whatever the lowest is, and I could go on and on and on. So, you know, for me, yeah, it was very easy because, you know, I didn't have anything. You know, the day I couldn't even get a bank account, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? Because it was, you know, that's how poor I was. You know what I mean? That they just didn't even want me on the system. So, but yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of Americans are so tied into that whole debt system that, yeah, no, they cannot even see themselves out of it. You know, or see themselves, you know, again, living out here because they're like, whoa, how am I going to accrue debt in Mexico? You really can't. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you can get debt in Mexico, but you know, you got to establish yourself here for a very long time before you even think about, you know, or they even think about, you know, giving you any kind of credit or any kind of debt. And then it's a very different system out here. So different, you know. It's not something that's intertwined with the government. It's just the banks, you know. So basically, if you're going to accrue any kind of debt or get debt, it's with the bank. So you're going to establish a very strong relationship with that bank, you know, and they have to know that you got money and you're moving money, you know, for them to even consider offering you any kind of credit or debt or whatever it is. So yeah, no, it's a completely different world, you know, out here than it is over there. This is a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you. Let me see. Jesse, shout out to Jesse. There is something in psychology called learned helplessness. Oh, that's great. 80% of people won't do something to stop pain or help themselves. Yeah, no, hey, that's great. Yeah, I don't even know about that. But yeah, but that's, you hit the nail on the head, Jesse. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, yes. Shout out to you. Yeah, man. But that's the thing. You know, unfortunately, a lot of Americans, you know, they've learned to become dependent on the government, dependent on all these things. They're helpless. You know, they think that they're helpless. But the reality is, again, that's why a lot of Americans that move out to Mexico, they eventually, you know, go back to the USA with their tail between their legs because they realize that Mexico doesn't play that game. You know, Mexico is it's a completely different animal. Not just Mexico, but most of the world. I see videos of expats are all over the world. And I see, you know, expats, you know, foreigners, you know, Americans that move to other countries and they lose it all, you know, or they, you know, they're in a really bad situation just because they never learned how to simply even manage their own money, you know, let alone survive. And I could go on and on. So, yeah, man, you know, the American system makes you so dependent on the system itself that it's, you know, it's almost unheard. You know, it just seems like almost impossible for you to, you know, come out here and live. And then, you know, again, once you come out here, you know, you want to replicate your exact life as you had over there, only to quickly realize it's probably more difficult to have the same exact life that you did over there. Again, for me, you know, just like a lot of you guys, all I was looking for is a roof over my head, the ability, okay, to, you know, buy my own food, you know, cook for myself, just afford the basic necessities and not really have to worry about having to work 78 hours a week, you know, for some job that I hate just to make it paycheck to paycheck, you know. That's very simple. You know, I think a lot of you guys are looking for that, but a lot of you other people, you know, you're looking for, you know, a certain lifestyle, the American lifestyle. And, you know, that costs money because, again, since you cannot accrue, you know, you cannot accumulate all that debt out here. You know, people, I mean, it's insane to me. I see people that, you know, they go to Starbucks in the USA and they put it on their credit card and they just accumulate debt to infinity. Yeah, no, that doesn't work out here. You know, you want Starbucks, you got to pay for that, like out of pocket. That's right. Again, you know, it's a whole thing. But yes, it's a different world out here. So yeah, you know what I mean? Mexico is a Catholic country. Yeah, Jose. Yeah, I know. Did I say it wasn't? I was like, So yeah, a lot of Catholics out here. Yes, a lot of Christians out here. Yes, yes, yes. But anyways, guys, all right. I think that's it. You know, I think we're gonna just, you know, kind of like, you know. Okay, so what we're gonna do now is like, here, let me show you exactly where I'm gonna be in half an hour. All right, we're gonna bump it back. All right, so in 30 minutes, I'm gonna be over here. Okay, on my new channel. Okay, we're gonna be talking about, you know, why every chef, or if you're gonna be a chef or a cook, you have to be a masochist. And then I'm gonna tell you about my own story. Okay, so please join me over there. If you guys enjoy, you know, hearing me talk, you know, not just about this topic, but if you just want to hear me, you know, again, share my thoughts on, you know, other things, you know, besides living in Mexico, which I know some of you guys do, please go join me over there. Again, here's some past episodes. Look, by the way, last week we did, you know, getting thrown out of Disney. So I share you my story of actually getting thrown out of Disney. And I didn't think that was going to be popular, but it seems like you guys really enjoyed that one. I talk about being boring is all the rage these days. You know, we talked about that. Americans cannot cook. Yeah, that was very controversial. But hey, it was fun. And we talked about the first episode was the worst episode. OK, but hey, that's usually how it goes. Right. So the first episode, I talked about rats, you know, being addicted to selfies. Which is, you know, actually it's a thing. But again, you can watch that if you're interested. But today's episode is going to be, you know, every chef is a masochist. And we're going to be going live at 2 o'clock my time, a.k.a. 3 o'clock Eastern. So basically in 30 minutes or 27 minutes, we're going to be going live, all right? So I'm going to be, you know, changing the time on that. I can't do it right now because I got so many windows open, so many things open. But I'll see you guys over there. And like I said, here, let me share it with you. I already shared it. Okay, whatever. Anyways, okay. I really hope to see you guys there. If you guys really, really want to help support the show, you know, again, I really appreciate all the members. I really appreciate everybody that sends me some PayPal, Cash App, whatever it is you guys send me. It's all appreciated. I love you guys to death. If you really, really want to help me out and appreciate what I do here, go join me over there. Help me. So help support my new endeavor. Help support my thing, whatever it is I'm doing over here with that chicken. Obviously, look, Chef Ramsay is not impressed, okay? But that was like, you know, me starting out in the kitchen, you know, fighting a chicken, all right? So anyways, I really hope to see you guys there soon. We're going to, you know, move it on over there, and I'll see you guys in a few minutes, all right? We're going to get that started ASAP. I just need to take a break. I got to take a breather. I got to help Christian, you know, do a few things real quick, and then I'll see you guys there. So you already know, I already shared the link in the comment section. I'm sorry, I already shared the link in the chat. You already know, just go click on it and it'll take you straight over there. And I love you guys. I really appreciate you guys. I really hope that you guys enjoyed today's live stream. I really hope that you guys enjoyed today's show. Again, please, you know, go to my website for more information and tons of free stuff, okay? Again, I don't sell anything. Again, the only thing I sell is I might sell you a t-shirt. You know, what is it? Let me see. Okay, there we go. We got a t-shirt or a mug, you know, some bull crap. By the way, I took this picture back in LA. Look at that. You look at that. They're living the dream. Look at this guy. Look at this. Living the dream. Look at that. Crazy, huh? So yeah. I do photography. I do all that stuff. So again, that's another story. But again, just check out my website. Like I said, I don't sell anything, just my time and some t-shirts. That's it. All right. But again, I provide a lot of free information for you guys, you know, to take advantage of. So please do, especially if you're thinking about moving out here and you need extra help. Again, I totally get it. That's why I help provide it for you guys, so you guys can, you know, get your bearings straight. You know, my difficulty and everything that I had to go through, okay, when I first moved out here without any help from anyone or anything or YouTube or nothing, now you guys can take advantage of that because, again, I laid that foundation. And I've been able to make all these connections and you know, gather these resources for you to now be able to use, you know, in your move out here to Mexico. But again, it's not going to be easy. All right. Again, this is why I'm focusing more and more this year on doing videos where I'm interviewing people, you know, whether I'm interviewing Katie, you know, there's an artist that moved out here. I'm, you know, interviewed Sophie, which is, you know, someone from France that moved out here to become a restaurateur. And I could go on and on. We're going to do more and more interviews. I got some really, really, you know, awesome interviews coming up. You know, again, I interviewed Jesus, you know, shout out to him, you know, shout out to Nicholas. And again, you already know, all right? We do it all on this channel. So please, you know, I really encourage you guys to check out all the other content and everything else I do here so you guys can get as much information as you can to make it as easy as possible, you know, when you're doing this whole transition. So again, guys, you already know the deal. If you like this kind of content, okay, don't forget to please like, please subscribe, please share, please hit the bell icon. But more importantly than anything else, please stay awesome. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And I'll see you guys. Where are we going? We'll see you guys there in a few minutes. Okay, so about 25 minutes. Yeah, 23 minutes. I'll see you guys there. 30 minutes. I'll be there in 30 minutes. Okay, so give me 30 minutes. All right, I need to take a little break. Okay, I got to, you know, use a little boys room. And, you know, again, you know, do a few things. But I'll see you guys there in 30 minutes. All right, love you guys. Peace out. See you guys soon. Bye.